You're listening to a sermon by Daniel Ray, recorded on February 17, 2008, at the Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only, and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you, Evan. That was a wonderfully thorough introduction.
And we're not pressed for time.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Psalm 121, from where comes my help? By any account, Psalm 121 is a simple psalm. It's a simple song that asks a simple question with an obvious answer that is its main theme. God is our help. He watches over us always. And I think it's funny because I was kind of nervous about when to come up, and I think Evan said something along the lines of, "Don't worry, we'll watch over you," or something, which is essentially the main theme of this sermon today. So, ironic or convenient, coincidental, you make the call. But despite its simplicity, it has made its way into Israel's mind as a song of degrees, or what's referred to as a song of ascent. And that is that it is a pilgrim's song, of which it is said that travelers would sing as they made their way up to Jerusalem, perhaps to the temple, and definitely to worship. Charles Spurgeon suggests, along with others, that this and other songs of ascent, or songs of degrees, which are in Psalms 120 through 134, convey their ideas in a series of steps, starting with a simple truth and moving upward in word and stanza to higher truths. Along these lines, I intend to explore this simple psalm while paying attention to the four primarily progressive truths which stand out. He who is our help, he who does not sleep, he who protects us, and he who keeps us from harm, always. And so it begins in verses 1 and 2 with a question. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The question implies that the author of the psalm perceives the situation as one in need of help, or perhaps he anticipates some sort of upcoming trouble. Many attribute the authorship to David, and some suggest that he may have penned it while in war camp awaiting battle, or maybe after a battle, having experienced victory. In either case, he understands his situation as one in need of help. And what comes to mind is my best friend back home, Mike, recently had a little baby boy named Luke Daniel. And Luke Daniel's a fantastic joy to watch. I spent time with him over Christmas, and he didn't like me at first, and then he did like me, and then he didn't like me, and it was fantastic. But later on, Mike and I, his dad and I, got to talking, and you know, he just looked over at me. I'm like, "How is it, man? How is it to be a father, to experience this?" And he said, "You know, it's great, but you know, it really comes down to it. It's all fun and games. It's really cute. You know, when he passes gas, it makes it seem like he's smiling and things like that. But the truth is, right now, we're just doing everything we can to keep him alive. Like, that's our only task." And Luke Daniel is an example of someone that needs help. And I think that we could probably all agree that even though we seem older and wiser and have accomplished more things, we're really not that far off. And so in looking to the mountains for help, the psalmist, he's not expecting that his help actually comes from the mountains. Rather, it seems that in looking to the mountains for help, he realizes that his help comes not from the mountains, but from the very one who created the mountains. He calls that person by name, Yahweh. It is from the Lord, Yahweh, that the psalmist declares his help. It is important that our traveling pilgrims have a name. It is important they know a name from whom they can expect help. For Israel, this was their distinction from others in their day. Others, when they traveled, could rely on little more than idols, superstition, or even the mountains themselves for help. But Israel knew God, and they knew God by name. Our current reality is a reality of abundance. It's easy for us to look for help in many different places. We have an abundance of friends. We have an abundance of finances. We have resources and information from which to gather help. But it becomes clear in times of trouble that nothing in this world can provide us the kind of help that we really need. That help only comes from Yahweh, and that help only comes from His Son, Jesus Christ. Thus, the Apostle Paul states in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And as we make our way, when we encounter trouble, and as many of you, if not all of you know, we will encounter all kinds of trouble, we must turn to Yahweh for help. For it is Yahweh who does not sleep, as the psalmist describes in the third and fourth line of the psalm. "He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." He will not let your foot slip. I actually have some practical experience with that concept. Years ago, when I was back home in Northern California, I grew up in an environment that was surrounded by rivers of every kind. And when you get a man to a river, you get a pretty clear example in nature of how men and dogs are kind of similar. Because you know, if you take a dog to a river and you let him go, he'll just run straight upstream. And then he'll get to like a clearing, he'll climb up a little bit, and once he gets over the rocks, he'll see that there's more places to go, and so he'll run even more and more. Well, young guys do exactly the same thing. Like, we just show up to the river and just start going as far as we possibly can in one day. And when I was younger, I spent several days, several afternoons, several weekends doing these kind of river hikes. And kind of the goal when you're with other people is to move as quickly as you can. And so I would go out and buy the best river sandals that you could possibly buy. And they would have all this crazy webbing and really nice soles that were sticky to rocks and things like that. And then I would literally start running up the river as fast as I could. I know it's kind of hard to imagine now, but when I was young, I could do this. And I would jump as far as I can, and I would just see, like, across the river, across, like, raging rapids, I'd see a little rock that I knew I could land my foot on, and I would just bolt out and jump on that rock and land there. And invariably, I'd land and move on to the next rock and just keep on going. And just so you don't think I'm trying to make myself sound particularly athletic or anything like that, the point is that I didn't realize then, I obviously don't do this anymore, but I didn't realize then how dangerous what I was doing was. How easy it would be just to slip on one rock and fall and break my head, or to slip on one rock and fall into the river and get swept away. And little did I know that even during that time, the Lord was literally watching my every step and not letting my foot slip. And even as the Lord keeps our feet from slipping, we're reassured by the fact that while doing so, He never loses sight of this task. Because He never takes a day off. He's never absent. Because He never needs to sleep. The president of my seminary in a recent chapel sermon took solace in this fact. That in the midst of our lives, which are characterized by stress, overcommitment, we can search for the Lord and find our truly needed rest. He says, "My God is a God of rest. My God is a God who promotes rest. But my God never sleeps." He never sleeps. And were we to put the full burden of even this life on our shoulders, we would fail miserably. But we do not fail because we know of a God who puts the burden of this whole world on His shoulders, and He never sleeps. The proverb says, "In his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps." And so you can rest in that, my friends, all the while knowing that while you are taking those steps, He will never let your foot slip. And you will get where He is taking you as He directs your steps. The psalmist continues to elevate his claim by declaring the Lord's protection in lines 5 and 6. "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." And living in Vancouver, the concept of protection from the heat might be a little bit lost on all of us. But where I come from, that river town I come from in Northern California, In the summer months, the temperature rises to well above 40 degrees. And the possibility of harm due to overexposure to the sun is a very real possibility. In fact, back home, we spend a good majority of the summer just trying to find shade, or in my case, any room with air conditioning. I won't go into detail about the moon reference, but apparently it has something to do with making people crazy and protection from that. So watch out for the moon. But in any case, the psalmist understands that it is the Lord who protects him in his environment and watches over him. The same is true for us. We live in a world that is keen to constantly predict one form or another of global catastrophe. Do you remember all the madness surrounding Y2K so many years ago? I thought I was going to lose my mind telling people that the world was not going to end due to a computer glitch. But people panic nonetheless. Our current great crisis is global warming. And I want to be clear, I'm 100% in favor of doing everything we can to properly care for and be stewards of God's creation. But before we panic, let us heed the words of the psalmist here and put our faith in Yahweh to protect us. And so finally, he elevates the discussion to its highest level in verses 7 and 8. The Lord our preserver. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. All harm? Will the Lord really protect us from all harm? I have to admit to you today that I struggle with that verse all week long. I struggle because I'm now old enough and wise enough to know, or at least to be aware, that in this life we really do face all kinds of trouble. Not just Sunday school trouble, but real trouble. And as people I know are facing depression, loss, failure, and sickness, one dear friend from back home has put her husband, her sister-in-law, and her mother-in-law in the hospital all in this last week. And it's sometimes hard to read a verse like this and truly be convinced that the Lord is keeping us from all harm. But if this is a promise, and I think it is a promise, then you and I must understand God as he is presented to us here and in light of this promise. The Lord that David knew, the Lord that the pilgrims sung about, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the one for whom we meet to worship today, is a Lord that is characterized by keeping those he loves and keeping them from harm. To help us understand that, the psalmist has characterized him 5 times in this psalm with the word that is translated, watches over. That word I was talking about earlier that Evan used. But 5 times is a way for a poetic writer to make a point. 5 times is a way for a song to tell you what it's all about. In that he watches over us. The Hebrew word shamar is a word of protection. In Japanese, there's a similar word that may or may not be related to the Hebrew word that is used to describe what a samurai does. The one who is characterized by that description is the one who is fully responsible for that which he or she protects. The one who is doing shamar, the one who is watching over, is the one that is fully responsible for that which he is shamaring, or for that which he is protecting and watching over. And you see, you may have come in here today, and I don't know if this is true, but you could have come in here and thought that you were in charge of keeping care of your own life and those that you love. Or you may have thought that you were in charge for all of the troubles and all of the things that you had to encounter. But I'm here to tell you and to ask you if you remember only one thing, that it is not you who are in charge, it is not you who is watching over, but it is the Lord Yahweh. He understands it, and the psalmist understands it as his responsibility to watch over us. And if he were watching over us, would he not keep us from harm? He is the God who watches over us each and every day without sleep, keeping us from harm. He is the God who watches over every aspect of our lives, both the coming and the going. As the psalmist declares, he is the God who watches over us now and forever. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. And as we reflect on the second Sunday in Lent, and as we contemplate Jesus' hunger and thirst and exhaustion from the heat, I have been wondering all week whether Jesus sang this song in the desert. At the conclusion of Lent is Easter, and it is in light of Easter that I am able to find answers to the questions that this verse raises. For did not God protect us from all harm when he sent his Son to provide a new way for us to be restored to right relationship with him? And did not God protect us from all harm when his Son gave up his life and endured harm himself that we could have eternal life? And does not God protect us from all harm each and every day that he sustains our existence in this world? Acts 17, 25 says that he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all people life and breath and everything else. And as one preacher said, God sustains us. God sustains us so much that were he to withdraw from this earth, all of us would simply fall asleep, never to awake again. And so I hope today that we can say yes to these questions. That along with the psalmist, we can rejoice in the God who created the world that we live in. And rejoice that in the world he watches over every aspect of our lives, day after day, and keeping us from harm. Psalm 121 is indeed a simple psalm filled with simple truth. And it is exactly the kind of truth that we need to know in times of trouble. Thanks.